Maaser's Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches 1:8. One more mission discussing the Gemar Malacha, the completion of the processing. We've discussed grain, we discussed wine, we discussed oil, and now we're going to discuss figs. So when it comes to figs, there's two basic ways they consumed figs. One was as a pressed fig cake, and one was as figs, either fresh or dry figs. So the mission is going to talk first about the eagle, the round fig, pressed fig. So the common practice was that after they would press the figs together to make like a kind of fig cake, they would make it look shiny, kind of like the way we put, say, eggs onto our challah. So they would like take a grape, let's say, and cut open grape, a half grape, and smear it, push the grape against the outside of the fig cake, giving it a certain sheen. Sort of reminds me of taking an onion and cleaning off your barbecue. I don't know what else. We do similar like that today, besides for the... But anyways, that's the story. So that is the Gemar Malacha, in fact. It says, Ha'igul, when it comes to a round fig cake, Mishiyachalkenu, excuse me, Mishiyachalikenu, once you shine it up on the outside by using the grape to shine it up. Now, we're going to digress for a minute to have two machloksim between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the status of when you take the grape and smear it against the outside of the fig cake, what's going on over there. So the first question is, may one use a tevel grape to do that? The thought being, if it's tevel grape juice that you're putting on this fig cake, then it might be forbidden. You'll recall we saw previously in the perek that there's a machlokas about juice if it has a status like the fruit itself, and even though we paskin that it is in fact zeba alma midir abanan, certainly you cannot drink fruit juice that's tevel. So the question is, can you use a grape or for that matter a fig and to get the fig juice out when the fig juice is tevel and to smear it onto the outside as like a varnish to the outside of the fig cake? So the Tana Kama says yes, you may machalikin b'te'enim uva anavim shel tevel. You can use a fig or a grape to give that sheen to the fig cake. And the fact there's oil, the fact that there's juice coming out of the fig or the grape and onto the cake of figs is not relevant because it's kind of going it's being wasted. It's going to loss. It's not being drunk and has juice, and therefore it's not significant. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He is oster. He says, no, the fruit juice remains significant and you would have to first have tithed the fig or the grape prior to using it as an agent to shine up the fig cake. Halach like Tana Kama, meaning we don't consider the shine that's given from rubbing a grape or fig on the outside of the fig cake to be significant. The second machlokas between Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding that juice on the outside of the fig cake, if that's considered to be hechsher, if it's considered to be applying and wetting with a liquid that readies the foodstuff, in this case, the fig cake, to be susceptible to tumah. The Mishnah says, "Hamachlik ba'anavim." If you use grapes to give the shine to the fig cake, remember, grapes and grape juice, I should say, is one of the seven yad shachat dam liquids that are effective for heksha, for reading food to become tame. That's why we dropped mention of the figs in this part of the Mishnah, because fig juice is not able to be machsher anyways. But the question is a grape pressed against the side of the fig cake to give a shine, is that considered to be grape juice and be machsher and ready the fig cake to become tummy? So Tana Kama says, Hamachlik ba'avanim lohochshar. If you did shine it with grapes, lohochshar, the fig cake remains impervious to tumah. Rabbi Yehuda omer hochshar. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the juice is significant, and therefore it is machsher. It readies the fig cake to become tummy. Again, halacha like Tana Kama, that's not affecting hechshar. Now, that was for fig cakes. The other way you eat figs is as dried figs, aside from fresh figs. So the dried figs, hagrogros, when it comes to dried figs, mishiyadush, once you press them into the container, like you jam them in, at that point, that's the gemar malacha. So that's straightforward. The question is, if you jam them into a container only halfway, then you add more figs, is the additional figs significant, like a second batch, a second harvest? Don't forget, when it comes to figs, unlike other foodstuffs, there's not one single harvest for figs. If you recall back from, for example, Maseches Peah, the Mayan tone, we talked about how figs are exempt, let's say, from peya because it's not, they're not likita suka achas, they're not all harvested at once. Figs are growing on the fig tree throughout the summer. It's not one harvest. So the point is you might like press your figs and put them into the barrel, and then weeks later, take another batch and put more into the barrel. The question is the second batch you add significant to the processing of the first half? Or no, they're independent of one or the other. The difference, the nafkamin would be if the second batch is important to the pressing the first batch, so then it's not Gemar Malacha when you put the first batch in because it's still waiting for the second batch, and therefore the bottom batch really hadn't reached Gemar Malacha yet. Whereas if the second batch is not really relevant, so you pack the first batch, not sufficient to make Gemar Malacha, so then they become forbidden. The first batch becomes forbidden immediately upon packing them in there, and Achilas Raya is forbidden. And the Mishnah then will illustrate this point and the Machlokas about the status based on the fact that it says, Hagrogros Mishi, excuse me, I'm sorry. I got a tiny bit ahead of myself. I skipped a couple words. The Mishnah says, when it comes to grogros, if you pack them into a barrel, mishi yadush, when you pack them in with a stick, and umagura, if you're keeping them in a storage room, then mishi yagel, when you just make them into like a neat circle. That's considered gemar malacha. But now, as I said before, about the question about the second batch, hayadash b'chavis umagel b'magura. If you've gone and smushed in a batch of dried figs into the barrel, or you've arranged them inside the storage room, and then before you've put in the second batch, nishbara hachavis, the barrel bursts, v'niftacha hamagura, or the magura, the storage room pops open, and the figs spill out onto the floor. The question is, may one eat from those figs arai still? So Tanakhama says, no, you may not. Lo yochel mehem arai. You can't eat from them casually because the Gemar Malacha happened. You packed them in the barrel. You put them into the storage room. Rabbi Yossi Mater. Rabbi Yossi says, not true. He says, since an integral part of the processing of the figs is filling the storehouse or the barrel fully, and this barrel wasn't yet fully filled up when it burst open, hadn't had a Gemar Malacha, and therefore Rabbi Yossi is Mater. Rabbi Yossi says, Achilas Arai remains permitted because the Gemar Malacha hasn't occurred yet until the whole barrel is stuffed to the gills with stuffed dry figs. The Bar Tanura goes like the Rambam and says, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, meaning he passed like Tana Kama, that Achilas Arai is forbidden, even if it wasn't filled up all the way with dried figs. And many other Mefarshim go the other way, based on a Rishalmi, and they say indeed like Rabbi Yossi, until the container that's storing the dried figs is fully filled up, you have not reached Gemar Malacha.